You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you are interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. I don't think anybody in a billion years when the first Chucky movie came out thought, yeah, this is going to go on for like, what is it, like 8 movies and now a successful TV series? It's a story about a serial killer who, through a voodoo ritual, gets the soul placed in like a good guy, like a Cabbage Patch type doll type thing, and starts killing people. It didn't seem like it had a lot of legs, no pun intended, because it just got tiny little legs. Get it? Okay. Well, anyway.
Little stubblers.
I think part of the strength of the series has always been, one, creator Don Mancini and his producer David Kirshner, who have worked on every single one of these except for the reboot. Mancini not only created the character and directed several of the films, but has written all of them. And now the two of them are the showrunners for a TV series that is a direct sequel to the last film, the seventh film in the franchise, Cult of Chucky. Although, at first, it doesn't necessarily feel like it's going to be that way. If I hadn't read it in the news, I would have been like, oh, they're just not going to do any of that other stuff. That's a shame. I like all that goofy, crazy other stuff. But guess what? About the halfway point, this movie goes, all right, you've had enough getting to know your time with Chucky. It's time to bring in the canon. And thank goodness they did, at least as far as this fan is concerned. But we've got some other people here to talk about Chucky. I've got Elliot.
Hey, hey, hey.
Matt.
Hello.
And Doggett.
Sentient doll dog Doggett.
That's true. You were born to do this review, Doggett.
It's my hero.
You know, it's funny. This came out on USA Network and Sci-Fi, which is not exactly always where we go, oh, you know, it's going to be good. You know, certainly there have been a few exceptions to that rule. But, man, the other executive producers on this, other Mancini and Kirshner, first you've got Nick Antosca, who was the showrunner and creator of Channel Zero, an amazing anthology show that unfortunately only lasted 3 seasons. Harley Payton, an Emmy Award winning writer for Twin Peaks. I mean, wow, this is a really solid crew of people working on this thing, and they're, you know, as much as you take a horror comedy seriously, are taking it very, very seriously.
It's because they pay attention to the lore of Chucky that's been building since the first movie.
You know, speaking of lore, I don't think I've ever seen a single Child's Play movie.
What?
This is my first introduction to the whole thing, and I absolutely loved the shit out of this season. Having known almost next to nothing besides it's a possessed doll, I loved everything about this season. I thought it was fantastic. Hearing that it's sort of got a consistent creative team and all these writers, it really shows. There's a lot of greatness on the screen.
Evidently, the doll is possessed by the guy from The Room.
I thought that was an intentional choice to make him look like Tommy Wiseau.
I'm sure it was, yeah.
No, Tommy Wiseau made that choice.
The first Child's Play predates Tommy Wiseau's film career, so.
That's the first movie he saw. He's like, America!
Because Brad Dourif actually plays the role of Charles Lee Ray, the serial killer who becomes Chucky, in live action in the first film, and there's a lot of flashbacks to that period when he was getting started being a serial killer, when he met his female co-killer, played by Jennifer Tilly, in the movie series here, because they're much younger. They have an actress named Blaise Crocker, although I believe that Jennifer Tilly is still voicing that. But as well, when they go back to these flashback sequences, Fiona Dourif, Brad's daughter, who's a respectable actress in her own right, who looks almost distressingly like young Brad Dourif, is actually playing that role of young Charles Lee Ray, but she's also playing multiple parts here, because if you've seen Cult of Chucky, she is a character in there who's like a good person, but she ends up getting possessed by Chucky. So she at points in this is playing still that person, because she kind of, it's like a multiple personality things. And at other points, she's playing Chucky in the body of Fiona Dourif. It could not have been easy to do. But the story follows Zachary Arthur, who's Jake Wheeler. He's a teenager. He's kind of atypical, fancies himself like an artist in training, but he makes weird stuff with cut up dolls and stuff. And he finds a Chucky doll at a yard sale and wants to use it in his art project. He finds out pretty shortly into this that the doll is in fact possessed by serial killer Charles Lee Ray, who isn't there to kill him. He's like, hey, kid, don't you hate all these kids who treat you like shit in your town? Like, especially Lexi Cross, his classmate and total outrageous bully, played by Alvia Allen Lind. Wouldn't you like to kill her? Come on, man. Killing people is cool. So Chucky's like, he's trying to mentor this kid into being a serial killer. Now, later, of course, we understand what the hell's going on here, but you get start with a Chucky who is actually the best friend of this kid, except, you know, the most toxic friend ever. He's trying to help this kid out while still on the sly, murdering lots of people, including right off the bat, his dad, who's a no good drunk guy played by Devon Sawa, who later plays his twin brother, who takes him in along with the mother and their kid, who's about the same age as him, into their big, rich, expensive house. So he's living there and he's being resented by his cousin in that situation. There's actually a lot of characters in here, a lot of parents, and largely in this, I would say, if you're an adult and you have kids, you're out of luck. You're probably not going to make it to the end of Chucky season one. But the first half is really just, like I said, it's like him dealing with his own anger and pain. And he's gay and just starting to come to terms with that. And is kind of in love with a little more openly gay kid at school who runs a murder podcast. It's kind of sensitive and touching at points early on, weirdly. You really get to like this kid and some of the other people around him, and you really get to hate the female bully. And then the whole thing does this weird 360 on you at about the halfway point. And I don't want to get too much into details of what exactly happened, but in terms of who you're rooting for and why, and also in terms of, okay, now it's time to bring in all those characters from the previous Chucky films and all that canon, which I'm glad to hear, Elliot, that didn't throw you out of it.
Yeah, I loved it. I really loved the characterization that was going on in this show. I think that was one of its strongest suits. And as you were kind of alluding to, it really kind of pulls this 180 because the bully played, well, her name was Lexi Cross in the show, does something really pretty heinous in the beginning, almost straining credulity. But what they do with her character to sort of pull her back from that was incredible, and I loved it.
Well, yeah, because his retaliation was just such a, oh, that's what you're going to do. Maybe I was right to bully you.
Jesus.
One thing that really struck me watching this is the casting is dead on the actual age of the characters.
Yes.
It's one of those suspension of disbelief things where we're so used to the CW shows where all the high schoolers are 28.
Yeah.
That you're like, man, that's an actual 15-year-old kid that just fell out a window.
You know? I'm not convinced. That's a 35-year-old. He's got 3 mortgages.
I hadn't even thought about it, but I was just looking it up, and all the primaries, yeah, they're all like 14, 15, and 16, the 3 primary kids.
I thought that brought some kind of groundedness to it, and also just helps it not be insane that they're just getting killed by like a toddler-sized thing.
Yeah.
Did you catch the gag with Tiffany's voice?
What do you mean?
So at the very beginning of her scenes, she talks like the actress speaks, and then after the first really traumatic thing happens, she starts talking like Jennifer Tilly, and she even goes, oh, I sound weird. Something must have slipped up here.
Yeah, and they play that joke. I love the joke, which they've done in the movies before as well, because Jennifer Tilly initially plays Jennifer Tilly, and then she gets possessed by the good guy doll Tiffany, who is evil and the girlfriend of Chucky, or rather her soul. I don't know. It's confusing. Anyway, there was a lot of back and forth with it, but now Jennifer Tilly is there and she is possessed by the soul of this other girl, but she goes around making no point of like taking advantage of the fact like I'm famous actress Jennifer Tilly. Hello.
It's set in Hoboken and it makes Hoboken look very provincial, you know.
Well, let me correct that. Poker champion Jennifer Tilly.
Yes.
Poker. Pardon me. Hackensack. Apologies to the good people of Hoboken.
Hackensack, which is where the series started. That's where the events of the first movie took place. This thing is all about callbacks, but it does it in a way that I think, as Elliot will testify, you don't feel like it's not explained well enough for you to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, if anything, it felt more like it was deconstructing slashers in general.
Yeah.
At the risk of putting Elliot out of the loop, I was kind of wishing there was more callbacks. They did subtle ones, like referring to like characters from Seed of Chucky, but I kind of wanted a little bit more. I wanted them to dig deeper.
I would have taken more. I really, once the series goes full on crazy, the film series, you know, goes from just, okay, it's a killer doll who's a slasher, has one-liners, to, wow, this got weird and lots of mythology and Jennifer Tilly comes into it, then I really love this series. I would have definitely taken more, but there's a lot as it is. We've even got at one point, and this is not a spoiler because it's their names on Wikipedia and they were even in the trailers, the stars of the first film appear in here. They are a bit older now.
A bit?
But playing those same characters. And they've done it before. They did it in the last movie. They were a big part of the last movie, or one of them was anyway. But Alex Vincent is still playing Andy Barclay, the Chucky's arch nemesis from the first movie. And I like the fact that poor guy, like a lot of child actors who are cast, who are just kind of smaller, he's a small dude, even as an adult, and they regularly, you know, kind of poke fun at him for it here in the series.
Hollywood is the right place for short folks, I guess.
He's got a foot above Tom Cruise.
Don't we all?
Exactly. I mean, I guess. I don't know. Maybe he's gotten leg implants at this point.
They should have got Cruise to play the doll Chucky and just had him like bring his collateral intensity to it.
I think there's a lot of fun to be had with this, and I didn't think you could sustain a whole season of a TV show, much less want another one out of the source material, but god damn it, they really did. This is fun. Brad Dourif is having a great time and knows exactly what he's doing as the voice of Chucky. Fiona is also his daughter, who is terrific. I've seen her in multiple things now. I always go like, ooh, great. I love her. She's great. She is just chewing up all the scenery. Jennifer Tilly. Can you believe that woman is 62 years old? I mean, Jesus Christ, she is got some great genes. I tell you what. Everybody here is good. The kids are largely good. I think there's a little bit of a mixed bag with some of the performances. Like the cousin, the rich cousin, is like kind of nondescript.
He reminds me of the Capital kid, the Sandman kid that got in the spat on CNN.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh,
he's
yeah.
So smug. I hated that kid on sight. I just wanted, I did want to bully him. And he is kind of the bully in the script, but I was like, somebody give him a wedgie.
But I think the main kid, and especially the girl who's the bully, are fucking fantastic in this. And they play off each other really, really well here. And this takes some twists and turns that I didn't see coming.
Yeah, and they do a good job of, like, I call it the six-year-old test. Like, whenever they do, like, a sequel or an update or something, the juxtaposition between braiding in all the canon and not, like, unfaithful to it mm-hmm. versus modernizing it a little bit and keeping it relevant and not dragging it down, explaining the old elements. And they did a pretty good job here.
And one thing I really enjoyed about this show is, this might sound weird, but I think this might be the meanest Chucky's ever been. Like, he's been a piece of shit before, but he pulls some kills here where he's like, that was just uncalled for. They had 6 weeks left.
Oh, yeah. And then his behavior in Nika's body when he's incredible. Which, by the way, speaking of homages, he dresses like Gina Gershon's character from Bound.
Yeah.
Man, that character can't catch a fucking break.
This is like we see him in full effect. Like, it makes him seem like a true crime figure, like a Richard Speck or somebody that's truly malevolent. There's nothing puckish or cute or redeemable about him by the end of it, you know? The straight horror elements here, like the kills in this are pretty like...
You know? And the flashbacks to his childhood, those are fantastic. Oh, it's like yeah. What Halloween was going for but failed to do.
Yeah. And it never falls into yeah. the trap of Friday the 13th or Nightmare on Elm Street of kind of making you root for the villain. I always rooted against Chucky in this show. You really want these characters to survive.
I will say one thing we haven't even brought up is that other than mentioning that the lead kid is gay, Chucky has become sort of a gay icon now because there's a sequence where he's like, oh, does it bother you that I'm gay? And he's like, no, what am I, a monster? I don't care. Yeah. Like, so they make clear that Chucky will kill you regardless of your sexual preferences. It's only if you're an asshole or you're in his way. Who you're fucking? No effect.
I don't enjoy this. They're throwing gay icon on just anybody nowadays. I don't like this. Fuck Chucky.
Equal opportunity offending serial.
Man, he beat up. He tried to kill his gay son.
But then he came to terms with it. You know, they worked through it, right?
Yeah, exactly. He didn't try to kill him because he's gay. I'm just saying.
Oh, schematics.
You mean semantics?
Same thing.
So there is a lot of fun to be had here, but maybe we had slightly different feelings about it on a whole. So let's go to final thoughts and find out. Elliot, get us started.
Yeah, I am not a horror person. I'm not a super big slasher person. And I've never seen a Child's Play property before this. I knew it was about kind of comedic possessed doll, but this was absolutely great. It's, according to you guys, it sounds like it's very much a reflection on the whole franchise, but it felt to me also like very much deconstructing slashers. I just love this. The characters are great. It takes a lot of twists and turns. The acting is top top notch. Zachary Arthur as Jake Wheeler is fantastic. Really, I think the MVP for me was absolutely Olivia Allen Lynn as Lexi Cross. Absolutely great, and I think she's going to have a career ahead of her, frankly. I would highly recommend this. This was 9 out of 10 knives in the dishwasher to the face.
Doggett?
Maybe I can't give this a fair review because I, like many other Latinos, love Chucky. I love the character, love the movies. I even like the remake. And maybe the show gets a pass for me on some aspects that maybe other people wouldn't enjoy. But if you're a fan of Chucky, this is a must watch. Don't get fooled because it's on a cable that it won't be as graphic, because it's probably more graphic, actually. Nah, basic cable nowadays is way more than we got in the 80s. So I'm going to give this 8 out of 10 hints to seeds of Chucky.
Matt?
I actually, for my other podcasting endeavor, we plowed through a bunch of the Child's Play series, and having recently watched them all, I'd say this is as good as anything from the theatrical series, better than some of it. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget the credits of Child's Play 2, where they reconstitute him at a plastic factory, and it's one of the most ghoulish, because of the flesh-colored plastic, it's just weird. I like this a lot. The core cast, especially the actors playing Lexi and Jake, I thought they were really good. Jake's character seemed like a very authentic, like a lost, that kid that only paid attention in art that was always getting sent to the office. He really did seem like that kid for real. The effects are good. The kills are funny / gory. Whether you're watching it for horror or horror comedy, it delivers. They got the original people back. And I've always found Child's Play to be kind of a roadhousey. You know how people say Roadhouse it's not a movie for dumb people. It's a dumb movie for smart people.
Yeah.
Child's Play has always had that feel. The rules are dumb, but it remembers them for the whole run. It plays by the laws that it lays down. All in all, I'm going to give this I don't want to duplicate a rating. I'm going to give it an 8.9 out of 10. Worryingly precise legal definitions of baby.
You took the words right out of my mouth, and that this is indeed smart entertainment, but it's not smart entertainment. This isn't Succession, right? They're not here like, oh, this is really for like really, really smart people. And it's not dumb entertainment. Like, this is only to appeal to people who can watch any old damn thing as long as it's got horror elements they like in it. It's actually very smart.
No super jail.
Like the movies, it's very smartly put together. It's very loyal to the source material. It knows exactly what it is. It knows how to stick within those strictures it sets for itself, and it knows how to evolve and change and develop the story in ways that are unexpected and really, really fun. And this is really fun. This may be my favorite single Chucky product yet altogether, and I've seen all of them multiple times. It just works, and it takes a story in a very interesting new direction, and wow, I can't wait to see what's going to happen in season 2, because I'm not going to say it makes an interesting decision in the last couple episodes and then rolls with it. I'm like, okay, suffice it to say, they're going to have to largely recast most of the people in this, because there ain't a lot of them still standing by the end of it. But I really like this. I'm going to give this 8.5 out of 10 little 14-year-old girls that are so evil that you're kind of like, come on, kid, listen to Chucky. Maybe you actually should kill this bitch. She's horrible.
Seriously?
I can't believe the way they pulled that off so deftly, because you're like, she's so bad. This, like, past just a bully, you're like, wow, you're a psychopath. And when Chucky's like, you should kill that bitch, I'm like, look, maybe just this once.